This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to the show, Rebecca Coates.
It's lovely to be here, as ever.
Exactly, from SAM, which is the Shepparton Art Museum.
Yes.
In Shepparton, obviously. Now, welcome to the show. Now, you're also here with Arlo Mountford, who's got an exhibition, artist, and has an exhibition at the gallery. But we'd start off with you, Rebecca. For those who haven't heard Rebecca for the last few times you're here.
Or may have forgotten.
Need to refresh our memory.
Yeah, exactly. Tell us a little bit about yourself and also a little bit about SAM, basically.
Well, I'm the director of Shepparton Art Museum. And it is.
How long have you been there now?
Well, nearly 4 years.
Wow. Yeah. Time's flying. Because I remember you came on.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So I think I started in August 2015, and I'm not quite sure where this year has gone.
I know.
Anyway, so it is nearly 4 years. And in that time, we have embarked on probably the most momentous thing in our 80-year history of the collection, which is building a new art museum.
Wow.
So as well as running a pretty dynamic museum, working with fabulous artists and, you know, doing an exciting program that engages and hopefully brings people to Shepparton and the sort of region, you know, we are also building this standalone art museum that is going to do all that and way, way, way much more. And it's, I don't like to use the term loosely, but it is going to be a really iconic, I say landmark, but right. Iconic building.
But what I love about what you've been doing since you've been there is that you've really, and it's happening a lot with the regional galleries as well.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. They're not just being the old daggy regional museums, art museums anymore, are they? They're something really special.
Yeah, real destinations now.
Yeah, they are. And I think that there are two things to that. One is that you've really got to understand where you are and what makes you different, because otherwise we'd all be doing the same thing.
And what does make you different?
We have our collection, I think, is a real point of difference. We have the largest collection of Australian ceramics in regional Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to say from first European settlement. And of course, we have a very, very rich and particularly important Indigenous ceramic collection. So, of course, if you think about clay and if you think about that mark making and the history of mark making, I think that we have a legitimate claim to say that this Indigenous collection tells both parts of the history, you know, sort of predating European settlement and, of course, where we are and where we would like to go in future.
Now tell us about Marla. You know, why did you choose him? I had this problem. I mentioned something earlier wrong as well.
There is a real poetics to his work,
right?
So I'll give you Marlo briefly.
Right. Okay.
There might be something he'll riff on. One of the things we've looked at is the history of the collection, the history of SAM and what the collection does. And because, of course, you've got to think about what's it telling and what are the gaps and what are the bits that are missing. We thought that there was a real opportunity to present really major survey exhibitions by leading contemporary artists whose work was perhaps not being represented in that way, or they'd had major individual works but hadn't been the capacity to see the sort of survey or significant number of works at the one time. So we started doing this, well, maybe 3 years ago, and some of those exhibitions have gone on to tour. So Raquel O'Mella, which is an exhibition we've done, is now at the Drill Hall in Canberra. And Arlo really, I'd worked with a couple of times. I'd known Arlo's work for many, many years. We worked together at ACCA. But it really struck me that there were multiple parts to Arlo's practice, and there were aspects that were really had a resonance or had aspects that sort of could hook into this regional context, the place, the making, the doing, and yet be part of what we're trying to do with these major survey shows that helped you to rethink where we were in the contemporary times in which we live.
Yep. Okay, so Arlo, how did you get involved? You know, like what spurred you on as a young kid? Within the arts.
Essentially reading comics as a very young kid.
You went to Pokemon?
No, it was pre-Pokemon.
Oh, okay. Really. Because there's a new film. Our film reviewer just did the new film.
Oh, right. Comics, yeah. No, much earlier.
Marlowe.
Sorry. Yes, Marlowe. Marvel.
Marvel.
Yeah. Well, Marvel, DC.
DC, yes.
Mad, 2000 AD, like, oh, yes. Pretty violent. Quite enjoyed that. I actually started art school because I wanted to draw comics, but then I quickly realised I was terrible at drawing. So I quickly turned to try and be a real artist.
I find this interesting. Here you are, an artist, and I thought it was just me that, you know, I can't draw, I can't paint, you know, like, and everyone says that everyone can. Are you in that understanding that there are some people that just can't?
I don't think that. I actually think anyone can draw, but it was just a case that what was required of me in terms of comic drawing, I just wasn't up to scratch. Like, I couldn't illustrate, maybe.
Okay.
But I can make marks, you know. marks. I kind of talk about it like before art school, I was drawing comics. I went to art school, I stopped drawing altogether, and then I finished art school and I started drawing again, but using a computer.
Computer.
So it's all computer generated, what you do?
Kind of. Like, it's drawn with a mouse or with a stylus these days.
So tell us, when did this light bulb go off when you were at art school and realised what you wanted to do?
I was about second year of TAFE in Perth.
Another boy. Perth.
Yeah. I was at Perth Tech in Northbridge.
Yep, Aberdeen Street.
Yep. Yeah. And I had this really great lecturer, Jeremy Blank, his name was, and he kind of got interested in what I was doing, and I didn't really understand what I was doing, but I think because he was interested in it, I kind of thought, maybe I can do something. And they were terrible works. I'm not going to describe them.
But that's an interesting point, Arlo, because you sort of said you wanted to do something specific, which is obviously illustration. Now, after a while, you realised you decided you weren't any good at it, but you still stuck with art and art school. So somebody either was encouraging you or you just had that inner drive. What kept you going?
I was pretty arrogant. Like, I kind of knew,
Well, we can tell that.
Yeah. I mean, like, leaving school, I kind of thought, I'm no good at anything else, but I'm good at art. So, you know, I kind of had that thing to hold on to.
Better than most out there, so you thought.
So I thought. I mean, I was country Western Australia. All right. The city I quickly found.
So give us, give our listeners a description of your art. Explain to them what your art is.
I can't really do that. I mean, what I can do is say that I'm doing a PhD, trying to work out what that is. But
So what is your subject matter?
I don't want to say. The work is essentially thinking about the burden of art history and what it means to contemporary art practice. So
there's a lot of references.
How do we accommodate it?
All right, now we'll get Rebecca's version of it.
Can I add a couple of bits?
Yes.
Different perspective.
The artist is often
I think
the worst.
Actually, to be fair, it's really unfair. He's in the midst of a PhD, and PhDs, I can remember when I was doing a PhD and someone said, what is your PhD about? And I said, I'm looking at, and they said, this is not sounding good. I'm very worried about the state of education in our tertiary institutions. And I said, no, it'll be all right. You know, so I just think when you're in it, it's quite hard to think about what it is that you're actually doing sometimes, or put it in words. So the thing that interested me is that Arlo has always had a number of parts to his practice. There's this video work, which looks highly sophisticated, and yet within it, there's this whole history of largely what I think of Western art history, so major iconic, and I do use that knowingly, masterpieces.
Yes, lots of references to different artists.
Absolutely. So you could play Where's Wally, you know, there's a little Where's Wally sort of trick, but sort of goofing along through this, sometimes haptically, sometimes hopelessly, sometimes very aggressively. And I was shocked seeing the show again in its entirety. It's a very black view of the institution. So I said, Arlo, is this going to damage our friendship?
Are you anti-establishment?
Are you anti-institution? Is that me that you're trying to sort of kill and, you know, bang into a deep
hole? Those galleries.
But this man, and I always think of it as a man, it's
it doesn't have a gender. I mean, it is it's an every person, but it's a sort of there is a bit of humility, humbleness, opportunism, aggressiveness, and you can in different works you can sort of relate it to different genres. So there's sort of schlock horror. There's your So again, if you think about sort of film, it hooks into a whole series of different styles and forms. So it is a ubiquitous sort of figure. At the same time, though, that I've seen in Isla's work, there's this very handmade DIY, very sort of tinkering. Anyone who played with Meccano, anyone who used balsa wood, anyone who loved the smell of glue, you know, there's that very handmade aspect. And so one sort of, they're both the same inquiry, but the finish is quite different. One looks as though you couldn't do it at home, and yet it's all done on your PC and it's all done using a stylus, and now we can all do it. The other, of course, looks like anyone could do it in their back shed and their men's sheds or their, you know, the use of the back, you know, garage, and yet the sort of whimsy and the aspect to it is actually highly, highly constructed. So it looks like this most simple sort of ready-made almost, and yet it's incredibly sophisticated. So there's this two plays, I think, that you see within the work. And then there's the performative. And this is where Arlo is the only artist who's ever got me making the lunches for the for all the actors and sweeping the floor. And that was someone said, "What do you do as a curator?" And I said, "Well, this weekend I've been on sweeping the floor duty." You know, so there is a very interesting performative component, I think, that can bring sound in, music in, thinking about space. Yeah. And then I think all of that informs the sort of narrative of these 3D worlds, the digital world.
Yes. So what's it called?
The show,
yep.
Deep Revolt.
What does that mean?
Well, it was actually...
This is where you're killing the director, isn't it?
Well, yeah, no, it's just kind of... I was thinking about today, because I thought this might come up. It's kind of like this deep scepticism. So it's not a necessarily negative, but a distrust of anything that kind of keeps... Like of the audience, of the institution, of my practice, it kind of keeps it... I don't know, unstable.
So yeah. Can you see yourself, is this a finish point of this particular exhibition? I'm getting, reading between the lines, that this might be just a phase, one phase of it, and that you'll develop it more as time goes on. Could that be a possibility?
That distrust, or is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, you know, like, and the path you're taking us on as a viewer.
I mean, I think I've just because the show is kind of covers 15 years of work, and I can see, I guess, a maturing.
Just a retrospective of your full works.
It's a survey.
Yeah.
So I can see like the practice maturing over that 15 year period. Yep. I mean, I'm gonna
so is this it then? Have you finished? That's what I'm getting at. Is this
I hope not.
You'll just keep going.
or are you moving into a whole new world, other world after this?
Who knows what tomorrow brings?
I don't think I'm finished with the...
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm finished with it.
You still keep going on with the sort of format that you're doing.
Can I say one thing? Apart from the fact that this sort of overriding blackness or sort of scepticism to do with the institution, there is also a great love of modernist language. And I think that's really interesting. You know, we are now at a stage where we're, you know, 2019, we've got enough time to look back to the utopian ideals of early 20th century to sort of think about it and think, well, what were they trying to do? What were they pushing against? Why was this so radical? And we live in a world of this proliferation of images, you know, we're sort of onslaughted at every stage and anything is possible. And I think that there was a much sort of clearer understanding of mark-making, signs and radicalism then, and I do think that there's a great almost a nostalgia for that sometimes in your work because they're very clearly read images. They're, you know, you look at these works that are caught up in whatever it is and you go, ah, you know, so there's a strong sort of graphic and there's a strong takes you back to a moment in time, and I think so there is a Do you think it's fair to say there's a nostalgia for sometimes less complicated times?
A nostalgia for some kind of revolt, I guess, like some kind of revolution. You know, like maybe the revolution is a nostalgic thing now, but I hope it's not. Maybe that's how I would describe it.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're going to be showing a lot of all the video on screens throughout the gallery with, you know, sound, because it's quite a lot of sort of music and a lot of sound effects as well, which really sort of add to the storytelling in a lot of the videos. So what sort of screens are they on, like large format or what sort of...
Yeah, they're all... Well, so 100 years is like a large 4x2 meter screen.
Right, and then, so quite large there.
Yeah, and the Folly, which is exclusive to SAM, is three projected screens.
Yeah.
So you should talk about that a bit. So this is this work that's got three parts to it, and they're three Bruegel works. So if we think back to Northern Renaissance, and, you know, that's one of the works that I said we have to have that at SAM, because it's about pastoralism. It's about, you know, there's people in their little country towns going about their business. So you've got, you know, the shoemaker, and someone's getting drunk, and, you know, someone's fallen under the table and, you know, gone to sleep. And there, and what Arlo's done is animated all. So there are little birds that flit from one screen to the next. And those three works are not related particularly, and yet they're about capturing everyday life in a country that, you know, none of us have been to, both through time or space.
So what's the birds? Is it just because they're part of the one time in...
Yeah, I mean, the birds...
The dog too?
Well, there's the dogs too. There's some dogs that move through. But the birds actually do cross from work to work.
And,
I've used that idea a few times. There's another work that's also in the show, or what's it called? Walking the Line, where the characters call to each other from separate screens using bird calls and stuff. I don't know. Someone's asked me that once before, like, what's with all the birds? Time. It is about time, but it's also about this idea that, I don't know, there's something... Maybe they transcend.
Wow. Yeah. It looks like we've got to go on a road trip, people.
Yes, off to Shepparton.
Off to Shepparton to SAM Gallery. What's it called again?
Shepparton Art Museum.
No, the exhibition.
Just checking.
Yeah, Deep Revolt.
So it's going to be quite a comprehensive collection of all the works that you've done in many different sort of formats, like a lot of the videos as well as other installations as well.
And I think that because, you know, video can be quite static. So you've got works where you actually put your head in a wedge and then you look at the screen through the wedge. Mm. You've got large immersive sort of installations where you almost sit back and look at it. You've got smaller screens where it's much more intimate. So in terms of a show that's largely moving image, it's quite a different experience as you move from space to space.
Yeah.
Sounds brilliant. And it runs till the 10th of June.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Nice long run.
That's good. Enough time for us to get up there and have a look.
Excellent. Thank you both for coming in today. It's lovely
to be here as ever.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.